The following program is paid for by Little John Financial Services. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now presented by Little John Financial Services. It's David Little John with True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, gang, it is that time of the week. It is time for the True Wealth Radio Show on this, the greatest Tuesday you've had all week. I am your host, Dave Littlejohn, in studio joining me today.
Matt Dixon.
Matt?
Yep.
You've got to give the backdrop on what may become the greatest show we've ever done.
Yes, it
it's
could.
It's possible.
Were you trying to quote The Office where Dwight Schrute is sitting there and he's like, they're asking him, like, how long before an apocalypse? Well, in the 5 months? Very possible.
It's possible. It's
1 year?
Also possible.
Highly likely, yes.
I was not, but I'm glad we've got the reference now. Okay. I need you to give the backdrop of how this show materialized and why.
This one was...
It's kind of hilarious.
It could be the most thought I've ever put into a radio show, ever. I messaged you today and said, hey, I need, what was it, three verbs...
Three verbs.
Two nouns and an adjective.
It was three verbs, an adjective, and two nouns.
That's what it was, okay. Yes.
And so I'm like, what are we doing, ad libs here?
Uh-huh.
Or mad libs, not ad libs, but it's the same thing, right? Mad libs, and he's like,
go.
Maybe? So here they are, and believe it or not, we are going to work this into a show for you, and we're also going to point out how AI will brute force something.
Yeah.
And then you have to question whether or not it should have.
All you gave me was swim, jump, run, penguin, hot dog, and yellow. And I was like, huh, that's an interesting list. Let's make a radio show out of that.
Yes. So,
and I did.
And normally I would have said, this is absurd. We can't do this. And I think two thoughts came out of my mouth. The first one was, you know, we could talk about how AI will answer regardless.
You could.
Right. And then also I got to get my kid to hula practice. So I'll see you there. And so, okay.
And so then I waltz in today with this show, which is actually a decent one because the big idea here, like the overarching, there's a couple themes to this show. But I think that a lot of people have the misconception that your financial life is just kind of just one long race, right? Like, and it's all kind of the same.
Yeah, it's a marathon, not a sprint, blah, blah, blah.
No, I think there's very distinct portions to your financial life.
Yeah.
And I want to get into the nitty gritty of like, what cycle of life are you in a little bit?
There's the stages. This could have almost been triathlon.
It
by
is.
The way.
That's a good way to call it. We'll use that. The triathlon of your financial life.
This is the financial triathlon here. And it's the three macro stages. So what are they, Matt?
Well, the first one is kind of when you're swimming, treading water. How about treading water?
Okay.
Right? Because sometimes, you know, you can't really touch the bottom. Everything is just really difficult. The cash flow is tight, or the market is kind of falling, or life just threw you an expense. And you're not really trying to run very fast. You're just trying to not drown.
Okay.
I feel like we've all been there, right? Like, we can all... go back in time to a point where it's like, oh, things were slim. I can remember when I first got married. We had no furniture.
Mm-hmm.
Someone gave us a couch, and that was about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're looking around, you're like, well, we don't have any money, and we're married. So now what do? And you do crazy things. Like, you build your own furniture out of pallets. Because
I was going to say, this is the story. I've heard the story of the pallet furniture.
Yep.
Right? Now, just so everybody knows, Matt he's very creative with some of this stuff. Like, he's really resourceful. And so, am I correct that this stuff was such that you had other people request that you build stuff for them?
Yeah, I ended up selling a bunch of furniture after that because, hey, you're hustling. You're trying to make it. You're trying to make it. So what do?
Yeah.
Hey, well, I developed a new skill set. Now I know how to build stuff.
Right.
Does anyone else want something? Sure.
By the way, this isn't even in the notes, but it's really clever that you just brought this up. So that first stage, right,
mm-hmm.
The swimming stage, it's – the, you know, trying to stay afloat, but also you're developing skills, Right. What does that really mean if I was distilling that down? You're becoming more valuable to the marketplace.
Sure.
Right. This is the idea why – this is where I get a little cranky when people say, like, every job should be a living wage job. I'm like, that's a terrible idea.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And if you think that way, I invite you to debate me on this. Right? I'm not going to say, like, oh, you're an idiot or something. I'm saying, let's have a debate about this. Like, why should every job be – a living wage job?
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think many people would take that debate because I don't think people really believe that. There's some folks that are really naive. They're like, well, because, you know, the human dignity and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, so you're not bringing up the issue,
mm-hmm.
right? That the work, commoditized work drops in value. That's the issue.
Right.
So you cannot force a job to be more valuable. All you do is break the economic system.
Yeah. And I think there's really kind of two types of people, right? Because when we're talking about this, you know, all right, I went and made the furniture because I didn't have the money to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of people, especially now. This didn't used to be a thing. Like, go back in time. People were inventive, right? Like, go back to the Oregon Trail. Your wagon broke. You're not calling someone to fix the wagon. You're figuring out how to fix it. Now we live in an era where a lot of people's default is, I don't know how to do it, so I'm just going to find someone that can, and it doesn't matter what it costs. I'll pay whatever it takes because I refuse to try and learn.
It's why we talked about the video game theory, the persistence theory.
Yeah.
That when games stopped being a restart from the beginning where you had to like completely re-engage and rebuild all the way back to where you were before you failed.
Mm-hmm.
And instead it was like, no, you just sort of start respawn. Over here, respawn, and you're really close to where you just were, or maybe a little setback, but not all the way. It's like these save points actually change psychology, and people have become less tolerant of adversity.
Mm-hmm.
God, that's a really long way to say. It's like they give up easier.
Yeah, because, we're in a generation
they're not training
of
the muscles
up.
To overcome the obstacles or to just tolerate the grind.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the other one. It's like, how many people think they should walk in and immediately be treated as if they've got decades of experience and qualification? It's like you have to demonstrate that there's value. You can't show up and just be like, I'm valuable because I said I am.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, you're valuable when you prove that you are. And if you prove that you're valuable, it's really easy. You will be compensated for it. And if that organization doesn't compensate you, another one will notice and you'll get poached away and it'll be made up to you. Right?
Right.
That's called the law of compensation. Go read Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich.
Right. So what's the kind of the next phase in this? You got the person who's just starting out. They're kind of treading water, trying to stay afloat. But I feel like there's this next phase almost where things really start to change in your life.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny because we're changing it in real time, and I don't know that I would have done this. The triathlon was the concept of you swim, then you bike, then you run.
Mm-hmm.
But the I think I would reorganize them because we remember our adjectives were swim, jump, and run.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this climbing aspect. The next phase, you're developing skills, and now those skills are starting
how
to become
do you know
more
when
valuable.
You got into that next phase.
Yeah, well, there's this. Yeah, it's the transition phase, if you will, and that would be another way to describe it. It's less of a triathlon in the literal sense of like you know, trying to draw each segment, but it's this transition from barely surviving to I now have some skills. I'm starting to get traction.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to make financial progress. Right.
Yeah.
By the way, some people don't make that transition well. They start getting paid more and they increase their lifestyle.
And then they stay always swimming. We know way too many people that do this.
Yeah.
Right?
They just kind of throw themselves back in the deep end.
Right.
Instead of making the progress, they're like, oh, well, look, I got a raise. Well, let me just.
And then just hope someone throws him a floaty. It's like, oh, he's drowning again. Someone throw him a floaty.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there is this transition. And I think the transition is you start to make progress.
Yeah, and I think there's some hallmark like signs of that. Not always, right? But like it's kind of that phase, I think, where you're starting to like maybe you start a business or you're changing careers. You went from your McDonald's job to more of maybe like a white-collar job, right? Like you're climbing the ladder and you're starting to fund your retirement accounts, and that's starting to look good. Like there's a lot of things I think that – are like signs that you're kind of in that phase.
I will also say you start getting to someday.
Yeah.
Right? When you're treading water, someday I'm going to do these things. The transition is that someday is this day. I'm going to start doing some of the things that were going to happen one day. They're beginning to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I am going to start saving for retirement. I am going to start, you know, doing these other things. You know, I am going to work out. It's like follow through starts to happen.
Yeah.
So that's the big, I think that's a big transition point. What's the last one that you'd say?
Inside of that area? I don't know.
Well, the final transition, if we're doing the triathlon, right? You get this transition, but the run phase, to me, that's when the things are genuinely working.
When things are just cooking, yeah.
And that is, you know, all the different financial folks have their different way of saying this. We've talked on the show about, you know, the saving stages. First, you're putting more in than the interest is earning. Then the interest starts to exceed your contributions. And then the interest starts to exceed what you earn.
I call this the boring phase almost, right? Like, in a way, right?
I call this the financial freedom phase, where you work because you want to, not because you have to.
Yeah, it's the phase where your wealth is really built, right? And a lot of the times it's not sexy. You're just doing the things that are like really, really good. Like you've paid down bad debt, right? Like you're paying that down, you're getting rid of it. That's not that glamorous to a lot of people, but it's really powerful when the bad debt goes away.
Here's a crazy thought. What if you never had bad debt?
Mm-hmm.
That's a fun one in here because that to me is what gets so many people. What if you never did take out credit cards?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'll tell you that I have very seldom carried, like in my lifetime, I've hardly ever carried a credit card balance into the next month.
Right. That's
like
a big one.
Hardly ever.
That's a
like,
big one.
And you know, I look back on it, and you're talking about dozens of dollars, not even hundreds or thousands of dollars. That didn't mean I didn't have debt. You know, I had to use debt to purchase a vehicle because in where we live, there's no public transit that's reliable enough.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a requirement. I have had mortgages, right? I have mortgages. So those are elements that are a different kind of debt because they're collateralized.
Yeah.
But why does somebody have to have bad debt?
They don't have to.
Thank you.
Yeah.
For saying that out loud, because it's like, well, you know, a lot of people, you're retiring bad debt. I'm like, how about don't retire it by never hiring it?
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it would be nice if we could just avoid bad debt altogether.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is, you can.
You want to know another sign that and this is even on the list of things that I came up with today. But like, if you're really doing well, you're at that full sprint, you're running. One of those is you're starting to put money into different asset classes. Right. Where it's like, it's because some people never get past I'm funding my retirement. They don't.
Mm.
When you really think about it, there's some people that they go to work, they put 5% in their retirement account, and then they just say, well, hopefully that's enough and Social Security is enough. But they don't have any other assets. They don't have a rental. They don't aspire to have one. They don't have a brokerage account. They don't really ever think to do, like, they're just grounded.
I will say it this way. I think a lot of people, their strategy doesn't evolve much. It is, I show up, I put some money into a retirement plan somewhere, and hopefully it works out.
It's the clock punching, right? Like, your goal is, I'm going to punch the clock for 30 years, and then I'm going to clock out, and it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay.
So,
well, there
that's
you go.
The question I want people to think about when we go to break is, are you swimming, are you jumping, or are you running right now? And then when we get back, I got some other good stuff for them.
All right. So stick around. We'll be right back. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
And you got True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240. Thank you.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Welcome back to the True Wealth Radio Show. Dave Littlejohn in studio with
Matt Dixon.
Now remember, if you were just getting caught up, today is Mad Libs financial style. Mm-hmm. So we are going to be transitioning into the yellow light spectrum. We're about to hear about that. I want to remind everybody, you can get caught up on this thing. Grab the podcast, right? If you want to listen to this uninterrupted, you can download it. So get to your favorite podcast place. Look up Little John Financial True Wealth Show, True Wealth Radio, and you can find us. Also, a reminder for those of you out there, we occasionally do other education besides this show. We have on August 20th our next will and trust class, like estate planning. If you're wondering whether or not a trust might be right for you and your circumstances, or how a will works, or some of that stuff, we are going to be doing a class on that. But I got to tell you, we have limited space. Fire marshal says this is how many people can sit in the building. This is what you get to do. So we're asking people to RSVP for that. If we run out of space, we'll do more classes, right? We'll work it out. But give the office a call, 541-375-0898, if you want to reserve a space. It is free to attend, but we are first come, first serve on this one. And we've historically filled that roster, and there's been a wait list. You can also email info@littlejohnfs.com to get on the list.
But someone tuned in 15 seconds ago, and they're like, what's Dave offering here? Tell them again.
So we're going to be doing a class. You've heard him on the radio with me before, but attorney Derek Simmons and I are going to be just giving a clinic, a seminar clinic on estate planning and specifically trusts and wills and how they work.
Okay, what's it cost?
It is free to attend.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah. Nice. And so we're not selling anything there. We are going to tell you where you can go to buy it if you need it. But if you just want to learn about it, this is a really good
chance to do it. A lot of people don't know what a trust does.
There's a lot of confusion.
A lot of people have heard about wills.
Yeah.
Trust. That starts to go into a space that a lot of people are like,
huh? It's true. And so we're just demystifying this stuff. This is not, I mean, yes, wealthy people use them, but this idea that somehow Donald Trump is dodging all the taxes by structuring and things. No, that's not what's going on.
In Oregon, have they ever cost of living adjusted what used to be the minimum amount? Because didn't when they first...
They have not, to my knowledge.
Yeah, I didn't think they did.
There's discussion about it in the next legislative session, but I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
You know, right now...
It's surprisingly low.
It is. If you have $1 million of all of the stuff that in your life, and by the way, this is what throws people off. Life insurance, death benefits, if you're the owner of the insurance policy, can be counted as part of your estate. So you're like, I don't have anything. It's like, okay, but you have a $500,000 life insurance policy and you got some retirement plans and a house. And so your net worth is $1.5 million. $500,000 of it is life insurance that's not yours. Like you die, it pays somebody else, but they count it like it was yours.
And then if you have $1.5 million and you don't have a trust...
Yeah, then you get to pay basically, you know, a minimum 9% on up from there tax on everything above $1 million. So this is, you want to learn how this works.
If you
don't, if you don't learn it from us, that's fine.
What's
but
crazy
learn how
is a lot of the financial mistakes that people make don't have anything to do with their investment portfolio.
I know that folks think, oh, I don't need to pay somebody for investment advice. And they go, it's not just investment. It is financial advice. It is more holistic in nature. It's making the investments coordinate with the taxes, that coordinates with your income brackets, that coordinates with how you're donating or not, and what things you can deduct or not. I mean, it's like it's all mixing together. You know, we talk to the CPAs and we talk to the, you know, business owners' attorneys, and we, you know, pull lots of different information in to make stuff go. So anyway,
so you promise it's not going to be some sales pitch like a timeshare.
No, we're super super timesharing trust. I don't even know how you would do that. How would you do that?
No, I'm saying that we're not going to give them a sales pitch like they're going to one of those people that tries to sell you a timeshare.
You will get pitched no harder than you get pitched on this show right now, which is kind of like at the end when we
if you
don't have somebody, here's our number you can call. If you have somebody, call them.
I honestly feel like that's why a lot of people don't go to events. They're just like, I'm so nervous to walk in the building, but this is going to be like so low key.
Yeah, this is much more about if you've ever wanted to meet us in person, if you're just, you can literally kick the tires this way and just kind of explore. You can come see our new office that hasn't been remodeled and needs to be and go like, why haven't you done this? And go, that's another story. But we could have waited forever. Meaning, like, let's wait until the remodels are done before we get people back in here. And we finally just said, people need the help whether we remodel or not. So we're gonna make this available.
Well, let's do it.
All right. Well, here, look, back to our
penguin
Mad Lib of
hot
the day.
Dog, run, jump, yellow.
Yellow. So let's go with the yellow because it is the probably the shortest segment, and you know that's what we need right now.
Okay. What happens?
What do you think of when you think of yellow first?
Well, this was about yellow lights. So what do you? Okay, what happens when you're driving down
like
the road?
I'm like thinking of John Wayne. Like, what are you, yellow? And yeah. I'm like, oh no.
No, you're going 45 miles an hour in the Escalade, and the light goes from green to yellow. What are you doing? Are you the guy that slams on the brakes, or are you the guy that hits the gas?
Sorry, you're asking like a truthful question.
Yes, I'll be honest on air.
Okay.
Rarely am I honest.
I am the guy that looks at the light and makes a real-time assessment of, can I safely stop or do I need to go through this intersection? I hardly ever accelerate. I just maintain speed. No joke.
Oh, dude, I'm the opposite. I'm like, let's floor it and get through this thing.
Yeah, no, I am the guy that literally am like, can I safely stop, and I have to adjust for each vehicle because they have different and I have to adjust for the number of passengers too because it's like, oh, you have a glass chandelier and a bunch of champagne flutes or something in the back of your vehicle and that's a yellow light. Do you stomp on the brakes? I'm like, oh man, that could be just as bad. So like you have to like literally look at all of the circumstances, make a calculation of the risks associated. You got to look at how the traffic pattern and all of those things in like a split second and make a call.
Yeah. And that's a really good segue into the financial side of this thing, right? Because like you're the guy that tends to stop and I'm the guy that tends to just say, YOLO, smash the gas pedal. I feel like in the financial world,
I feel way old right now, by the way. I'm like all safe and stuff. And you're like, you know what? Let's get it.
Oh, yeah. Well, so I'm weird. I have a bunch of weird tendencies, if you haven't noticed yet.
What?
Yeah. I don't like to wear brakes out. So I have this game of like, how far can I make brakes go? Like, can it go over 100,000 miles on the original brakes? And so I'm going to make it, by the way. I'm going to make it to about 120, they estimate. I don't brake. If I see a red light, I just ease off the gas. If there's a yellow light, punch the gas. We're not using the brakes. But
all right, so what's your license plate again? So we all see you coming.
Right? Watch out for that guy. Like, my favorite thing is to have a manual.
What's a light that we could legally put on your car to warn people that wouldn't be an emergency light?
Hmm.
I mean, we can't technically use the yellow light, and we can't use red, and we can't use blue. I mean, you could be a mall cop and we could get you a green light.
Green light, because I'm always saying go.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
All right. So how do we advise people here? What is your point? What's the point?
My point is you need to use discernment with your finances and don't always be the guy that just punches the gas, because sometimes your credit card balances are starting to slowly climb, or your lifestyle creeps come in there, and every time you get a raise, you're spending more money. Or you're building your stock portfolio only around the things that are performing best. Like, oh, that thing went up 200%. I'm going to put all my money into it. Like, use a little bit of discernment and caution and look at your surroundings a little bit. Don't be the person like me who always just hits the gas pedal and blows through the yellow light.
I'm going to give a weird example. I'm going to try to delicately navigate this because, you know, we're not supposed to give specific advice.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be interesting for many people if they would go study the difference between 100% all stock portfolio and a portfolio that has, say, 15 to 20% non-stock assets mixed into that portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
Because my experience has been that you have near identical upside capture, but less downside capture, which means in this case, the less aggressive portfolio may actually be more profitable. And that's counterintuitive to people because they're just thinking, well, I want to make the most money, so I just need to stand on the gas pedal.
Mm-hmm.
But the same is true. I believe I haven't talked to race car drivers. You have to go fast to win races. But there are other variables besides how long do you stand on the accelerator?
Sure.
In order to win a race, you know, there's the management of momentum and there is management based on the conditions and you know, tires and fuel and these other variables. And if you disregard them, you may not win the race because there were more variables than you were paying attention to.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of my take on this one is the yellow light is, it's a caution. It's not a warning.
Yeah,
warning to
it's
me
more
is different.
Like
warning is like something's broken.
Yeah. No, no.
It's a
yellow
caution.
Is like
pay
slow down and look around.
Do
slow down, look around. I said it earlier, kind of it's this idea of discernment. It's seeking wise counsel, right? Like, how do you get wise counsel? Surround yourself with smart people, good people that are a positive influence
Perfect.
On your life.
Grab the bags.
And they can kind of help you.
All right, so phase one is we talk about the triathlon.
Yes.
Segment two, we're talking about the yellow light.
Yeah, and now we're going to pivot to penguins and hot dogs.
Okay, but I guess we got to take a break.
All right.
So we'll do that. They'll play the music. Here's what you guys need to know. If you want to figure out how are we going to bring penguins into this conversation, we don't know either yet. Actually, I think Matt knows. That's
I'm
what's
the only
terrifying.
One. Yeah.
You're going for it, aren't you?
Oh, 100%.
All right. Well, come back, and we'll see where this goes. I'm excited. You excited?
Sure.
We're excited. All right. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
Got True Wealth on News Radio 92.9 FM, 1240 KQEN.
KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Well, get an eye.
I'm going to.
All right, welcome back to the True Wealth Radio Show. Dave Littlejohn in studio with
Matt Dixon.
On, of course, the fourth day of Aloha August.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Which, Matt, I know you're wearing company swag, so you're trying to dodge this, but I'm just encouraging everybody. This is optional, but it shouldn't be.
So here's how you fix this. Go get a bunch of Hawaiian shirts, get the Little John logo, print it on the arm, and I'll be in style
and
all summer long.
So
can I throw in flip-flops too?
Yes.
Okay.
This is a thing where I was fortunate enough to marry into some Hawaiian culture.
Mm.
And I got to tell you, I'm a fan. So Aloha August, I wear some kind of Hawaiian shirt every single day for the month of August.
Okay.
And if you're like, do you have that many shirts? The answer is, yes, I do.
The only thing we're missing is corporate retreats to Hawaii so we can be authentic.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll work on that.
There we go.
Okay.
You like how I'm just giving so many good ideas today?
I do. You're full of them.
I know.
So, Matt, segment three today of the Mad Lib financial
program. It's all about how awkward would a penguin look in Hawaii.
I had no idea that was going
That's
to be.
That's all this is
this
about.
This literally,
no.
What are the words that the ad lib today was? It was
run,
swim, run, jump, or I think it was swim,
right.
Jump, run.
Yeah.
And then it was
yellow
and penguin and hot dog.
Yes. So we're on the penguin
segment. On the penguin segment.
Yes.
How are you going to make this
Watch this bridge.
Financial?
Yeah, watch this bridge. So have you ever seen a penguin try and run?
Yes.
Does it look ridiculous?
Yes.
What happens when you throw it in the water?
It swims great.
Right. And it looks like it's
like
really in its
bird
element.
Torpedo.
Yeah. I think that the people kind of make the same mistake with money. They start to judge investments.
We should throw them in the water?
Yes. We're going to throw you all in the water and see which one of you survives.
Okay.
No. I think that people kind of make the same thing happen with money. They start to judge investments outside the environment it was designed for. I'll give you a real example.
Okay. I kind of like where this is headed. Strange. I can't believe it, but go on.
Yes. I've had people who are like, all right, I don't really want to take any risk in the markets right now. I just want to put it in something like a U.S. Treasury.
My favorite is when they just say something safe.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's super
I wasn't
subjective.
Use that word. I don't
like,
use that word.
I'm like, are we air quoting this when you say
yes.
safe? Because
yes.
like, the safe is
that's
not
what they
real.
Say. That's what they say. Yeah,
okay.
I want something safe. And then they're like, well, what's the safest thing or blah, 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 blah. And a lot of times people end up picking a treasury, right? And they're like, please just do this. And then I get a phone call 8 months later and they're like, where's my return? And it's like, we've talked about this.
Well, yeah, you safely avoided the return.
Right. Yeah. And so it's like you are not judging the investment inside the environment that it was designed for. It was designed to go get 3.8%, and that's what it got. But you magically are just like, well, the market's up 15 in that same period of time, but I only got 3.5. And it's like, but you weren't willing to take the risk to get the 12% return. Yeah. And so we're not, it's not an apples to apples. You're comparing apples to oranges, and people do it inside of investments all the time. Or they compare themselves to people who are playing a completely different game. I had someone that I was talking to really recently, and they're like, yeah, I have my money at the bank. I'm getting like 3%, but I know someone that made 40 grand. I'm like, well, 40 grand on how much money? Did they tell you what the investment was? So they're comparing themselves to other people.
Yeah, no, they had $4 million and they made 40 grand.
It's the penguin principle.
And you're like, okay, well, that is a 1% return. Mm-hmm. So, okay. It's funny, but it's a good reminder that, you know, penguins, they're not going to run and they're not going to fly.
Nope.
We tend to look at them and then go, well, you're a bird. You should be able to run and fly.
Yes.
And they, well, no. But you know what? They slide great. I mean, mm-hmm. they're like the toboggans and they're great swimmers.
Yes.
And you think, okay, well, if you look at them for that, they're pretty well adapted.
Well, and they know their limitations. Do they hunt by trying to chase things down?
They do not.
No.
Maybe fish.
Right. You know, like, they swim. Yeah.
Well, they have to go into their environment where they're
– right.
So this is really – it's useful for everybody to think about for a moment. I think one of the common mistakes that happens in the financial industry is that the financial industry borrows words that we know the definition of in mm-hmm. ordinary language, but the definition in financial language isn't the same.
Right.
Like risk is one of my favorites. Risk means different things.
Mm-hmm.
And most of us think of risk as a measurement of how dangerous something is.
Right.
Right. Oh, I'm taking a risk. That could be dangerous. All of these words end up being really subjective. Well, what is dangerous? Okay. I mean, on a scale of what? How do we know it's dangerous or not? Dangerous compared to what? Risk compared to what? But see, risk can also be a measure of volatility. Risk can be a price measurement.
Mm-hmm.
Right? What is the price of a fixed income instrument? It's priced based on risk. Risk can be a time measurement. So there are different versions of this. And to the uninitiated, you may think you're appropriately evaluating something and you're like, oh, you don't have the full context.
Right. No, that's
a very
good point.
And it has nothing to do with intelligence. It just has to do with, well, you don't know the full context yet. And so we're constantly trying to encourage people to understand the full context. Like, well, you know, penguin's a useless bird. You go, well, I'm tell that to the penguin, first of all.
Right.
You know, like, that's not cool to the penguin or to the polar bear that there's like, no, penguins are delicious. You know, they make a great snack. So,
but a penguin's really good when it's in the right environment. You know what I mean? And so I think people don't really gauge what environment that they're in. They don't look at their age. They don't look at their current financial picture and say, what do I need to get the lifestyle that I want? Mm-hmm. They just say, well, how am I doing compared to someone else? And it's like, you can't compare a penguin to a jaguar. They do radically different things.
Exactly.
And they live in very different climates. So I would encourage people to stop asking like, you know, is this investment good? And rather start asking like, is this investment good for the environment that I'm entering into? Not where I've been, but where I'm going.
Yeah.
People look in the rearview mirror way too often.
Now let me throw a real wrench into the analogy, though.
Because
if you can make this work, I'm going to be really impressed.
Oh, boy. Brain teaser time.
Well, some investments become better investments when they're paired with other things.
Ooh, good point. Yeah.
Right? So you think, oh, I have this treasury and it didn't perform very well. So, yeah, but if you
pair
it with...
What if it was only 5% of your portfolio?
Yeah, and you're pairing it with other instruments, an entire ladder of bonds with different durations and different risk profiles,
mm-hmm.
and it creates a laddered income stream that works better. Say, well, in the context of a bigger picture, it might work pretty well.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's like, well, you wouldn't have much of a zoo if all you had was penguins.
Right.
Right. You would have a penguin display, but it wouldn't be a zoo.
Correct.
If you wanted a zoo, you would have more exhibits than just penguins.
Right.
And that is as close as I can get. I don't know if you can come up with something better, but
no.
You really do want to marry different things together if you are looking for a generally better outcome, at least assuming that we're going to follow what are you know, the expected, you know, you make expected a good concepts point. Around modern portfolio theory and that kind of stuff.
You make a good point, and it goes back to something you talked about earlier, right? Oftentimes, people want to take on maximum risk because they want maximum return. But how often does that play out? Because I've seen a lot of people, especially people who like want to pick their own stocks, and they'll be like, well, I'm only going to go for, you know, 500% per year per like returns. I want all of it right now. And then you look at it and you're like, well, you've got five positions and three of them have lost almost everything. And you could have two of them that did fabulous, but if you know what I mean, like if you're all one certain type of way, whether it's ultra conservative or ultra risky, it tends to never really pan out great over a long period of time.
Yeah, well, especially if you're not going to adapt to what the market is offering you.
Right.
The wild thing about this is, let's go back to the penguins since this is the segment anyway.
Yeah.
You know, penguins are great in the Antarctic and so forth, but if you drop a penguin in the Sahara, it's going to be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And markets tend to be seasonal, and economic environments change, so things don't stay in season forever.
So we need to evolve.
Yeah, either penguins need to learn to live in the Sahara, or it's back to the zoo analogy. It's like you want to have
right
animals
spots.
That can survive in the Sahara if that's where you're going to be, and if you're going to be in the Arctic, you want things that survive in the Arctic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm stretching the analogy here, but the idea is that it's the difference between strategic and tactical. By the way, but. That's not a great capture either of this idea that, you know, a strategic investor says, well, let me kind of set up my mix of different investments and I'm going to let it play out.
Yeah.
The tactical investor says, let me do all those same things, but then let me try to adapt for seasonality a little bit and where the winds are blowing things.
Yeah. Have you ever had a moment personally that you can think of where you like kind of you were almost like caught off guard by a season that you weren't expecting, right? Where it's like, wow, like, I didn't really see this coming, but I was prepared because I took these steps. And so it's like you kind of weather it, you know? Can you think of anything in specific where?
The closest I can probably think about was COVID.
Yeah. You know, that was a wild one.
It was just so bizarre to think that the government would literally shut down the economy.
Yeah.
And I remember it happening and, you know, weathering through that process, making adaptations based on the industries that were likely to experience better outcomes as the government started letting things happen again. And then down the road, I remember how we shifted into the things that were going to benefit more from inflation and stay away from the things that would not.
Yeah.
And so, like, there was a season when utilities were getting repriced because of inflation. And so the stock prices of utilities exceeded for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then that kind of flattened back out. And people would say, well, utilities are supposed to be conservative. Why doesn't it work for this, that, and the other? Yeah, but look at the cycle of how long it takes to get a rate change approved.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it could be a 2-3-4 year process to get another rate hike approved. And they just had a major rate hike approved. So then you looked at that and said, yeah, it's probably that season is going to be a little dull for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And that largely played out that way. But those are some examples of how.
But as investors, that's kind of one of those things. You have to be prepared for it in some way or another, right? Like, because if you're like, well, it's always just going to go up.
Well,
which
that
people
or,
carry that mindset, even in real estate. Well, it's just always going to go up.
They do. Here's the thing that I think you can prepare for as an investor that really insulates a ton.
Okay.
Don't need the money. It sounds dumb, right?
No, it doesn't,
but
actually.
If you don't have to take withdrawals because you have set aside other resources so that withdrawals are not a requirement, you don't have to force liquidate at a lousy time. Mm. You don't have to be that brilliant of an investor to wait out a bad market. If you're willing to just wait it out.
Yeah.
You know, we're describing.
But it takes effort to get yourself to a point to where you can set yourself up that way.
Yeah, I think this is the difference between retirement portfolios and growth portfolios. Like when you're in the growth phase and the accumulation phase, you kind of set it and let it grow.
Okay.
But when you're in the retirement phase and you're taking distributions, you have to manage risk differently. So most people just get really risk averse and they do really simple low volatility portfolios. But let's say you still were trying to grow too. Well, that's, again, your risk profile looks different if you're willing to grow. But what you're really trying to do is manage volatility so that you don't have a big drawdown and need the money at the same time.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, managing your cash positions, that kind of stuff. I'm not even, you know, there's no investment advice around should you or shouldn't you do that or anything. It's just the acknowledgement that if you're in the spot where you didn't save that much and you can't afford not to have the investments grow in order to get to your plan, just know that your risk tolerance and your risk management are going to be heightened.
Mm-hmm. 100%, so, yeah. Anyway, that's a good point.
Look, we got to take our last break. It's perfect timing.
Okay.
I'm setting the table for the last item on the list of our
Where we have a hot dog eating contest?
It is. We're talking hot dogs and how they fit into investments.
Do you want to do that one day? On air?
We'll be right back. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
You got True Wop. I'm News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Hey, gang, welcome back to the True Wealth Radio Show. Dave Littlejohn in studio with
Matt Dixon.
Okay, super fast. All the teasers are the things you need to know. Will and estate seminar. If you want to learn about trusts, wills, how to implement those, whether or not you need one, free class August 20th. Call to RSVP. Space is limited. 541-375-0898.
We're only 16 days away.
Yeah, no, it's like in a couple weeks. So like,
and
we should have promoted it earlier. That's on me. So
don't worry. I'll get a sign and I'll stand out in front of the business and dance with it for you.
This is the okay. This is happening now. I'm giving Matt a sign,
please,
because nothing says value your time
standing on
Harvard waving
know,
a sign.
You'll never trust a guy more than the dude that's out there dancing and willing to handle your estate for you, right?
Precisely.
Yes.
Okay. So,
all right.
Here's the thing: our Mad Lib day,
mm-hmm.
the last one on the list, we had swim, jump, run, yellow light, penguin, and now hot dog. Help me out. How does this fit into a financial Mad Lib?
Yep. So everybody likes a hot dog until you see what's actually inside of it, how it's made. So, and I feel like some of people's financial plans are that mystery meat, right? They don't really know what funds are in there. It's just a bunch of mutual funds inside of mutual funds. There could be potentially unnecessary fees or a bunch of overlap. It's just, it sounds safe because there's tons of stuff in it, but you don't actually know what any of it means, and your strategy might just be some random thing you read on the internet and it sounded like a good idea.
Hmm. Yeah, I think about this. You should be able to ask, do I understand how this works?
Mm-hmm.
Do I know who's getting paid for it?
Mm-hmm.
How is it being charged? Because here's the one, the gotcha is when somebody says, well, there's no, it doesn't cost you anything. It's all built in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, okay, you're not paying directly, but what's happening is it's being debited out of the returns that would otherwise go to you.
Yep.
And so that's a really interesting one. There are financial products that I have to admit I struggle with because I start reading through the contract language and going, how does one track all this stuff?
Yeah.
And I'm not a big fan of gotcha, right? I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
Just my career has taught me that complexity isn't necessarily a good thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean it's inherently wrong, but it just means that it's going to take more work to understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is you often end up, I think people end up relying on more just sales.
And that's sad.
And the danger is that you don't necessarily get the complete picture. You get the picture that got you to
all
a decision.
All you have if it's a sale is trust that someone's going to make everything be okay. And you shouldn't just have a bunch of blind trust that magically you're going to wake up one day and your finances are going to be perfect or adequate, right? Like that's a little sketchy to me.
Yeah, it's just, you get into these, I guess maybe this is the better way to describe it too. Complexity generally brings cost.
Yeah.
Right. So when you see more complicated things, it doesn't mean that they're not going to work, but it does mean that you're going to pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like anything, if you're not getting as good a fuel economy, the car doesn't go as far on the same amount of gas.
Right.
That's kind of how that stuff works. And so I do see this, though, is a lot of the time, too many moving parts, they're not coordinated, or even maybe you don't have a lot of moving parts, and it's there is such a thing as a not planned plan.
We kind of talked
about this earlier, right? The idea that somebody just says they don't even know allocations and what they're doing. It's just, well, I just put 5% into a savings account and Social Security.
Okay.
So that's a not planned plan. Because you're not really doing anything except allowing Social Security to sort of be a safety net for you. And if there is a retirement plan, you know these career paths where people just end up with like a government job where it's like, well, I just had a retirement plan and Social Security. It just kind of was done for me. That's the not planned plan.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, the private sector in many cases is jealous of that, because to the public sector, it's like you end up with that because you're kind of forced into it.
Yeah.
Private sector, that doesn't work that way.
So they just kind of give it to you. Here's your PERS. Here's your pension. We're going to pay your retirement portion.
And it works out great.
Yeah.
But it does not. It works out great, but you never had to learn much.
Yeah. And a lot of people end up, if they're not planning at all, they get to the end of the road and they're like, well, how much do we get? And then they just hope that it's enough for what they want to do.
Well, that's the issue. The not planned plan doesn't always work out. Sometimes it does, and it's great. But for a lot of folks, the not planned plan doesn't bring you what you were hoping.
So what if someone, wants to just get an earlier look at this, right? That's never that crazy to just say, hey, like, I know retirement is 10 years away, but I would really like to know if I'm on track. Or, like, what might life kind of look like? Talk to me about that.
So this is, instead of the not plan, make it the plan.
Yeah.
Right? I think there's a real misconception. It's not that complicated. You want to have a sense of what might I like in the future and what are the things that I'm doing to get there. Mm-hmm. And then seeing if you're aligned or not. You're doing projections to see if that alignment's occurring. It can be that simple. There are some online calculators. This is also where folks like us say, take advantage of a free consult and come in and we can help see if you're on track. Okay, so here we are at the end of the day already. I will just say this. If you don't have someone you're working with that you already know and trust, find them. If you don't have that person, give us a call. Matt, how do they reach us?
Yeah, 541-375-0898, or go to the website at littlejohnfs.com and shoot us a chat or an email.
All right. Well, until next time, we got to run. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
You listen to The True Wealth.